Mandy,
Hello,
I
Katie.
found you, my friend. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's a very baseball day today. Today's Wednesday. We record on Wednesdays, and they had postponed one of the College World Series games to today. And so there was one at 11. There's one coming on in a few minutes, and then there's one at 6 or 7 tonight. So And then the Cubs play and the Braves play because a friend of mine went to the is going to the Braves game today. Is it
Party over.
is already over? So she went to the Braves game this morning. So it's a big baseball day for us today.
Indeed. And they're having Major League Baseball is so dumb.
Well, we've established that.
I'm going to talk about everything that's going on at Ricketts Stadium in Birmingham a little later.
Oh,
But
which I am so excited about.
they're having like a celebrity softball tournament tonight, I think. I can't figure out where to watch it. I've looked all over the place, can't figure out where to watch it.
It for Major League Baseball?
Yeah.
Is it not on like ESPN Plus or?
Oh, I mean, I've looked on all over the MLB site and their social media to
Yeah.
like thinking they would tell me where I could watch it.
Right?
No.
Because those are always fun.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like because it's at Rickwood celebrating the Negro Leagues, it's a bunch of former MLB, black former MLB players. So, like, Derek Jeter's the captain of one team, and I think Ken Griffey Jr. is the captain of the other team.
Stop it.
Like, it's gonna be a good game, and I don't know where the heck to watch it. That's why I think that's why everybody's playing during the day today.
Oh.
We said that, so I feel sure it's being televised somewhere. I just don't know where.
So I know we're going to talk about it more later. I had seen the coverage of everything that's going on there, but I didn't realize part of the draw for that location this week was that celebrity game. So that's really cool. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. So we mentioned the Men's College World Series. It's going on right now. Our arch nemesis, Tennessee, is still in it. So we are full on Florida State fans right now. Florida early this morning, earlier this morning, put a wallop on Kentucky. A
They sure did.
wallop. I mean, took them out back behind the woodshed.
They got, they did this last year too, because they didn't have, they had a better season last year, but they didn't have a great season. And then they got hot at just the right time,
Yeah.
which is what baseball is all about.
So I told one of my very good friends is a Florida fan. We won't hold it against him. He does actually wear jorts and tank tops, like as
I'm
an
wearing jorts right
attire.
now. Listen.
But you don't have a tank top on and you're not a dude.
You're right, I'm not. Both of those things are true.
And I tell him all the time it's because I don't want to see his pit hair. Like that's my thing. Like I don't want put a real shirt on because I don't want to see your pit hair.
In a way.
But he's got a cute kid, so he can keep sending me pictures. And so anyway, so he's a Florida fan. So I told him this morning after that game, I said, okay, y'all are on a roll. So if we can't get rid of Tennessee this afternoon, I said, y'all have got, I'm leaving it up to you. You got to wallop them. Wallop the heck out of them. Like you did earlier today. Because it would have 10 run ruled it during the season, but they don't have 10 run rule in the College World Series. So it's been a good series, though, I think. I was pulling for Kentucky because they were sentimental favorites because they're, we love a story and I loved all the stories that they were telling. And the blue mustache. So the blue mustache is much more endearing to me than the walrus mustache on the Tennessee.
I'm so ugly. I just saw on the NCAA baseball Twitter page, they were asking them all to write the word baseball in cursive.
Oh God.
And the walrus mustache guy was the one from Tennessee. And I
Yeah.
thought to myself, he didn't know how to spell baseball. So rude.
He doesn't know us.
It's so rude. Is ugly. I shouldn't be like that. It's my sister's fault.
We are, look, if there's a handbasket that's going to hell, I'm driving it. So just come on in. It's fine.
I'll be there answering the phone when you get there.
There we
That was
go. Well,
decided back in 1998 in Paul D. Coverdale's office.
look, I've got the headset from the Geico somewhere. I can answer it. Yeah, we can be the call center for the fiery pits one of these days. I know, right? I know. Well, so great baseball stuff. We're gonna have plenty more of that in a minute. But the other thing that happened Sunday night, and Mandy, I don't know if you got to watch because your internet, the worldwide interweb was out in her area. And tell me again, because I want to hear it out loud. Why could you not report it this weekend? Please tell me.
Well, if everyone will recall, my internet went out in the middle of us recording.
Yes, it did.
Thursday. But it came back on and it was fine until Saturday afternoon about 2.
Yeah.
My internet went out and Katie and I have been texting and she had asked me and I said, well, something, my internet's out. I can't, whatever. And then she texted again on Sunday. And I was like, yeah, I still can't watch. My internet's out. And she was like, still? And that's when I had to tell her, my internet company isn't open on the weekends.
You know what they have? They have these things and they're call centers for companies that are not open 24/7.
Yeah. So, and they're all like in North Dakota, yeah. You know, where land is cheap and plentiful. Yes.
So they could, if they wished, have a call center available 24/7, but they do not wish to do that. So you were SOL all weekend, which means you didn't get to watch the Tonys, which I hope you watch clips of it.
I have watched some clips of some acceptance speeches.
Okay. Which we're going to talk about that too. Because I was a weepy mess.
Yeah.
For the acceptance speeches. So the first thing is, there's been a lot of controversy around this performance. I love Cabaret. I love Joel Grey. I loved what's his face that revived it. Alan Cumming. I love the movie. Like, I know what kind of a show it is. It is not for children. I know it has some very adult themes. I can sing it, not well, but I can sing it from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know the show.
Right.
And so, a lot of people are outraged because of the content, but that's not why I'm against this version of it.
Right.
Eddie Redmayne's version of the MC is weird. Like, even for Cabaret, it's the way he articulates is just not good. I mean, it's different, but it just because it's different doesn't make it good.
Yeah.
And those little leather culottes and the party hat make him look.
He looks like a for real scary clown.
Yes.
Looks like a clown who went through a machine that, you know, it's like wrung him up and spit him out. Yes. And he only came out with like portions of his clown costume.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's and that part is a weird part. It is supposed to be weird.
Right.
But this is a different, this is the wrong kind of weird. And then
it was like disturbing.
Yes. And then later in the show, I've seen still pictures of it. Later in the show, he's got this full, like, we are explicit, so I can say this. Full, like, body condom, black makeup, head to toe with a helmet on. Not black face, but, like, black mask with weird, like, it is the, he said it freaks his children out. Like, he can't go home after the show that way because it scares his children.
Well, I can imagine. And imagine walking through the streets of New York. That would
it's
probably be
fun. Awful. And I thought, this is a great show. What are you doing?
Yeah.
I've also, it's an immersive experience, which is fine. That's fine. Bless you. But it's also like $800 a ticket. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I loved all the other performers in that. If you go back and watch the performance from Cabaret, I loved every other performer. There were different body types and the costumes were beautiful and their voices were great. And it was just really good. And except for Eddie, I'm like, oh, Eddie.
Yeah.
So well, anyway,
what happens when you get Hollywood to bring people to sit and see?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Bless you.
Sorry. You.
The other show that, of course, I love, I want to see them all. Like, The Outsiders looks really good. The Alicia Keys one, Hell's Kitchen, the whole performance, all I could think was, like, this is In the Heights light. You know, like, this is a reboot of In the Heights.
Yeah.
That's all I kept thinking. It was like, I've seen this show. And it was wonderful. So, I don't know. But I want to see I would love to see The Outsiders. Merrily We Roll Along, though. Those three are fantastic.
Yeah, I love Jonathan Groff. And I love Harry Potter.
I don't know if you got, when you saw his acceptance speech, if you caught what they were saying about him as he did his little walk up to the stage, but the announcer said that Daniel Radcliffe does so much of Broadway because it's the one place he feels like he can be a performer and not be Harry Potter. Yeah. Like, people allow him to be his own self and do different roles, which I thought was very sweet. And they all just clearly love each other because they were crying. I was crying. They were all boo-hooing. I was boo-hooing.
You'll have to look. Last night was their first performance.
I saw it.
Did you say when Jonathan, there's a line in the play where, or in the musical where they, Jonathan Groff comes out and they ref, like, they're selling, here's his award. It's a, he's like stands there. Yep. Well, the audience went crazy and everybody stood up and gave everybody a standing ovation. And then he passed the award to everybody else on the stage.
Well, they changed the line last night to a Tony.
Oh, I missed that. I didn't hear that
part. He won a Tony. The other thing to look for along that same line is after the show, when they're doing their bows, they brought the actual cast Tony that the director won, I think, for the whole show. They brought her with her Tony out front and the place just went wild. So it was very sweet. So Merrily We Roll Along really did good things. The one thing that I was, look, I try not to be judgy of women. I mean, we know that's a lot, but whatever. So, Brooke Shields, have you seen her and what she wore?
All I've seen is that she's got, like, two boots on her feet.
Okay, so she was in an accident and had broke both feet. Totally get it. And I feel terrible for her. What she should have done was record something from home. Seriously. So, she is now, she took over from Fran Drescher, who negotiated all the Actors Guild stuff. She has now retired from that job, and Brooke Shields has taken over the Actors Equity. And so she came on to introduce the In Memoriam, which was a beautiful tribute. But Lord help, I don't know who her stylist is, but the dress was ill-fitting.
What color?
Yellow, bright. She looked like Big Bird.
I have seen that. And it had feathers on it.
Yeah, it was very ill fit. Like, it didn't even fit her right. Just to start there. And then, instead of just wearing her boots and owning that she has two broken feet, she wore matching yellow Crocs.
Oh, yes, I did see that. Yes. I did see that.
I would have rather worn the boots to make it obvious that that was the problem. Or worn like a big ball skirt where it doesn't matter what's on your feet.
Right. Yeah.
It was just tragic. I wanted to go, Brooke, you're so precious and I love your documentary and I just want to hug you because I feel bad for all the stuff that you've been through in life. But like, this was somebody lied to you when you put those Crocs on. My friend.
I'm not a Crocs fan.
Well, it's just that they were the same color and it was a red cart. Like, it was so out of place. So out of place. It was bad. It was bad. Bless her heart. But anyway, so that's my Tony's Recap for you. The opening number was fine. Ariana DeBose can sing and dance. She's great. She wore a Bob Mackie vintage dress that was, or well, it's not really a dress. Let's just call it a costume.
Yeah.
It's not enough material to be a dress.
Yeah.
But she looked great. So she's beautiful. She's got a great voice. I don't know who wrote the song. It was kind of dumb, but NPH, you can't top him. So every person that tries to do that, I'm going to judge you against NPH, and it's never going to be good enough.
And Lin-Manuel wrote that. So
right. So yeah. So the other thing that happened, it's actually been a while, when I got the peaches, and I don't know if you know this about Macon. I don't know if they were still doing it when you were there, but one of my favorite things about summer is peach ice cream. And so I got some when I was at Pearson Farms.
Yes, you did.
But I also made some, and I did it the cheat way, and I'm going to give you all the recipe here in just a minute. But it reminded me of one of my favorite things about Macon back in the day growing up. Lindbergh's was this little behind the courthouse where all the lawyers went, kind of meet and three place, and you ordered by letter. So every entree and vegetable, every drink, every, you know, the cornbread or the biscuit, they all had letters by them. So when you ordered, you told your waitress, I want P with L and M, and then I want an S to drink, and I want an R, which was a cornbread or whatever. So that's how you ordered. You just told them what letters you wanted. And so to go along with that, every summer, they would take out a full page ad in the Macon Telegraph. And all it said was HMFPIC. That's all it said. And everybody knew that you could go to Lindbergh's and get one or two scoops of homemade fresh peach ice cream. So HMFPIC. So I have made my HMFPIC with some of the peaches that I got at Pearson, and it is in the freezer, and I'm so excited.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah. So anytime anybody sees me put HMFPIC, that's what it is. Homemade fresh peach ice cream.
I remember Lindbergh's. I don't remember ever going, I don't think, but I remember it existing.
It was it probably by the time you got there, it was kind of on the decline. It was one of those places we went when we were little a lot. We would go. Mm-hmm. They had, you know, it was a meat and three. So it was always really good fried chicken and really good. They had salmon croquettes that we loved. And it was had like a lunch counter in the front with all these little rooms where you could go eat in the back. And then my favorite part was on the way out the door, they had a doorbell, and you could buzz the kitchen to say thank you to the cooks. And so we always pushed the button every time we went to praise the cook. So
that's sweet.
Yeah. So I love going there, but someday I'll have to, they had a weird blue cheese dressing that they had that I loved and that people still crave. I'll reveal that I was given that super secret recipe, so I'll do Lindbergh's dressing one of these days.
I
will reveal all the secrets. So Mandy, what have you been up to this week?
Well, I've been listening to a lot of books because you know, else.
No internet. Oh, speaking of, so I've got a follow-up on Bookshop.
Yeah,
a little advice for Bookshop. I'm used to Amazon, where you don't have to pay shipping and that I can get the next day. So it is going to be at least a full week before I get my books that I ordered, which is fine.
But good to know.
You got to plan ahead. That's what I'm saying. So if you're going to start a book club book on X month, you need to, if you want to use that resource, you got to plan ahead.
Okay.
So I've been several days without a book because I did not know it would take a week.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Dansby just tried to turn a double play, but he threw it.
And we're at 1-0 Tennessee here, and I'm trying not to get too discouraged yet.
We don't need to hear about that.
It's early. It's early. It's early.
Yeah, so I've been just booking it up because I was living in ages.
Love that.
No internet, and when I don't have internet, I also don't have cable. Because
that's right.
Cable just have
same.
Streaming. So, I listened to some books, and I've worked, and that's really sort of all I've done. And then when the internet came back, I watched some baseball.
It's the month of no, so I love that for you.
Shocker. Yeah, my mother did call me and say, she so we found out during her driving evaluation that her vision was off. So,
yes, yes.
So the originally her follow-up appointment was supposed to be on Friday, but she couldn't get her new glasses, which, surprise, surprise, she needed.
Shocker.
She couldn't get them before her appointment, so she has postponed it. And so she was trying to get it rescheduled. And she said, I would like for you to come up here and take me. Are you coming up here anytime soon? And I said, no, ma'am.
That's a complete sentence.
She said, you don't want to see us before or after we go to Hawaii? No, ma'am.
No, ma'am.
She's like, you've been practicing that, haven't you? I said, no, I didn't even really need to practice.
No.
It's real easy. No, ma'am.
No, ma'am. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love that you added the ma'am too. That's very Southern, full sentence. I love that. I love that.
You know. So that's really it. I was entertained on Saturday because I could. Ironically, I also have a horrible cell signal inside my condo.
Yes, you do. Yes,
and
you do.
So when the internet's out, I like have to, if I'm lying in bed, I literally have to like hold my arm over towards the window
It's so
and get
cute.
the signal and let the page load. And then I can read it for a while until it's time to refresh. And then I have to go back over. So, but on Saturday, so there was this guy who lost his fantasy football. He was the loser in the fantasy football league.
Love that.
And his punishment was he had to sit in a McDonald's for 24 hours. He didn't have to eat anything. He just had to sit in a McDonald's for 24 hours. Now, if he wanted to reduce his time in McDonald's,
oh God,
he could do so by eating while he was there.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So his friends had made an Excel spreadsheet of the entire McDonald's menu.
This is like making my heart so happy.
And the time that he would, that would get taken off from his total for everything he ate.
Love it.
So, like, if I recall correctly, okay, here it is. Let's see. Like a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit would get you 45 minutes off.
Done.
And the McMuffin was 30. Okay. So, yeah, that sort of gives you an idea of the breakfast sandwiches. A hash brown was 25 minutes. Okay.
Okay.
A Big Mac was also 45 minutes, which I thought was BS.
I was about to say,
could definitely be more than a bacon.
That should be an hour and a half.
Right. The only thing that got him 60 minutes off was a double quarter pounder with cheese.
See, I think that a Big Mac's much bigger
Mac's
deal.
Got another piece of bread in there.
Two all beef patties, special sauce,
lettuce,
cheese,
onions
on a sesame seed bun.
Plus the middle piece of bread, too.
Right.
There's three pieces of bread in the Big Mac.
Yeah, that's I call BS on that.
They really should have consulted us.
They should have. As with everyone else, they should have consulted us first.
Apple slices were only 5.
Okay. They didn't want healthy. They were trying to avoid the healthy.
So he's like gaming. So he posted that, you know, the night before that this was going on. And so he was like, I'm trying to like strategize my
right.
And so then of course Twitter was jumping in and helping him
love
come up
it.
With it. So he went in with the strategy of crushing some hash browns.
Yeah.
That was sort of his goals. He's going to crush a bunch of hash browns.
That was a lot of time
for some
a
hash browns,
small
right?
Hash brown. Yeah.
So that was his goal. He was going to crush some hash browns, and then he was going to sort of go from there. He ordered all the hash. He ordered, like, I can't remember, 15, 20 hash browns, something like that.
Uh-uh.
He ordered them all at once.
No. Wrong.
He realized quickly that that was a mistake, that he had already ordered them all.
He should have asked us.
Listen, If only people knew.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was just hysterical. And apparently he's like, he must have like a sports podcast or something. Dansby just struck out. He hit a home run.
2-0 Tennessee now.
He hit a home run earlier today.
Okay, though. Well, we'll forgive. It's like the point system. He gets points for a home run and none for.
Yeah, he got 1 point for a home run because it was a solo home run.
Yeah, there we go.
I mean,
like the going along with our theme of like you get 25 points for a Big Mac.
I understood what you meant.
Yeah, I know.
So anyway, I just thought that was highly entertaining. I think he ended up like he ate some chicken sandwiches, I think, and he ended up eating a bunch of apple slices. And so he ended up shaving like, I can't remember, maybe 10 hours off of his time.
There we go.
So anyway, but he's a sports podcaster. So he did a couple of media hits while he was sitting there. It like really took off on Twitter. I just thought that was funny.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
We usually do our Olympic moment now, don't we?
We do. And I added one.
I want you to go first.
So tell me, I missed that one.
So Gretchen Walsh set the world record, I want to say it was Friday night, in the 100-meter fly, I think is her event.
I think so.
And Gretchen is from Nashville. She graduated from Harpeth Hall, which is Reese Witherspoon's alma mater, which is Will's.
Sister school. Yeah,
it's the all girls equivalent to his all boys school.
Yeah.
But we have known Gretchen. Well, my sister has known Gretchen for years. Her first cousin is one of Will's buddies. They were great friends in elementary and middle and junior high school.
I love that.
And they ended up at different high schools. But Will and Cole have been best friends. I mean, have been good friends for a long time. And then their family, you know, became good family friends. And like Julie, I can remember 10 years ago, they invited Julie and Will to celebrate Easter with them. And that's when she met Gretchen and her sister, who is also an Olympic swimmer.
I'm telling you, this is the best thing I've heard today.
And so, of course, Julie was all interested in their swimming career at that point, because, you know, 10 years ago, we didn't know what was going to happen. But she was like, no, they're really good.
Yeah.
And, you know, they swim with this team and blah, blah, blah. They both went to UVA. They were in the Olympics the last Summer Olympics, but if we'll remember the last Summer Olympics, nobody was allowed to go.
Right.
No family was allowed.
No family. Nope.
COVID. So I'm so excited for them that their family is going to get to be there again this year. And I know Gretchen, I mean, she set the world record, so she obviously qualified. I think her sister, I can't remember what her sister swims, but I think her sister has also qualified.
Yeah.
I did see a hit on the like local Nashville news. You know, interviewing their parents, talking about how nerve-wracking it is. Anyway, to have two daughters in it, like, it's like you can't rest because you get done with one and you got to be nervous for the other one. But anyway, it's just really exciting. The last time I was, you know, when I was in Nashville, several times we drove by their house and Julie would be like, that's where, it's where the Walshes live.
I love it.
So, yeah, so that's really exciting. So I'm excited for them.
We're definitely going to be rooting for her specifically. We root for everybody, but we'll root for her. Definitely. I love that. Yeah. There have been some sweet moments. They're having all of the Olympians sign the wall or this postcard for Paris or whatever. But it's really sweet. They get very emotional. It's very sweet to see. I've loved this trial. So one thing I did see, and it was on the, if you're not following NBC Olympics on Instagram, they have some great stories, which is, of course, what we love. And one of the little fellas, his name is Nick Fisk, which there are two Fisks, by the way. There's one with an E on the end of his name, not the same guy. And then there's this kid. And Nick looks like he's about 12.
Mm-hmm.
But Nick's wife is pregnant. And so he won, and he's going to Paris, and he, like, did the motion for cradling a baby. and his wife was crying in the stands. It was very sweet. So I don't, she's pretty pregnant. So I don't know if she'll get to go or not, or if the baby will be here before he goes or not. But that's one of the stories that I can't wait to follow and watch him swim over there as well.
I was going to say, is he a swimmer? But then you said that at the end.
Yeah. He's a swimmer. Yeah. So if he was a couple days ago, but it's in the feed, I'll maybe go into our feed and post it so you can see it. But it's it was very sweet. Of course, they don't look old enough to have children, but they don't look old enough to drive, most of them either. So
I got tickled that Katie texted me Saturday morning. That's what it was. This when she texted me Saturday morning wanting to know if I was watching the trials, and I was like, no, I have the internet. But also, I wouldn't be watching the trials anyway because it's a swim meet.
Yeah, I've gone to just watching at night.
Good call. There's a woman I follow on Instagram who lives in Indianapolis and has two little boys, and they did go, like, I think on Saturday night maybe, and I think they do it. You know, they obviously do a good job of making it more exciting than a typical swim meet.
They do.
The finals of a typical swim meet do get exciting.
Oh, but yeah.
You don't want to watch everything.
Mm-mm. No. Well, there's a whistler or two, like at the Vandy baseball game.
That was the other thing I was going to tell you. So that's typical with swimming.
Always, like I remember
when my sister, when I first started swimming, and my first swim, I got out of the pool and I came up, and my dad was like, you know, we can't hear you swimming. Because I had spent 7 years hiding under the bleachers every time my sister swam because my parents were so embarrassing with the yelling. And I'm like, we can't even hear you. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And so a lot of people do that purposeful whistle, like when they're, especially like with breaststroke.
Yep.
They breathe.
When they come out of the water. Stroke. Yep. Yep.
And so somebody, but again, I don't, it's not for the swimmer. It is for the
The parent. Yep. What I have found for the trials anyway is that they don't do the comment. They don't have any commentators. They just have the in arena announcer, which is fine, but it's not the same. So that's why I'm not really watching during the day. I'm just watching at night because one of my favorite Auburn men,
Rowdy Gaines.
Rowdy Gaines is back again.
I remember when Rowdy Gaines was in the Olympics himself.
I know. Me too.
Los Angeles.
Yep. So a good Auburn fella is calling it. So I'm loving that as well. The other thing I thought about, I think I texted you, was they revealed the opening ceremonies, Ralph Lauren outfits for the athletes. And it's like a pair of jeans. I mean, they look comfy. They're baggy jeans. I would wear them. So I might go look and buy them, but they have a blazer that looks exactly like Will's blazer. Like Will has to do is go to Paris and slip on the boat and he will look just like everybody else.
I wonder if the crew team has a double band on
the I don't know. But I thought they look great. I love a blazer. I think they look really nice. So blue blazers for everyone.
I saw somebody that was like said somebody on Twitter was like, I don't, something about it looks aggressive. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Aggressive.
They
all look, so the pants do kind of make them all look like 45-year-old women because of the cut. Yeah, they're all mom jeans with a blazer.
I want to tell these young people so badly, don't waste your youth on the baggy jeans, y'all. You will live to regret it.
Yeah. So anyway, there's that. But those are in these Olympic moment segments, y'all, like it or not, they're going to start getting longer. Here we go. Prepare yourselves.
You can be all Olympics all the time.
It will be. It'll be great. Well, it's my week to do food. And Mandy last week gave us some great ice cream recipes. In fact, I went and looked for at Williams-Sonoma when I was at the mall yesterday with a friend of mine for the KitchenAid. KitchenAid has an ice cream maker bowl.
Yeah, I have
that. They did not have one. So I'm going to have to order it because I would like to make the kind that you gave us, which is the kind that's full on ice cream. What I have done over the years, because I'm somewhat lazy, is I have found this no churn ice cream that I love. It's not, if you go in thinking it's going to be like homemade ice cream, you're going to be disappointed. But if you go in knowing what it is, it can be really good. So what I've done in the notes is put what I use as the base of the ice cream. And then I've given you a ton of different options for flavoring, because once you figure out how to do the base, then you can flavor it any way you want. And the last one is kind of different, but it's really fun and I really like it. So the base is 2 cups of heavy whipping cream whipped to stiff peaks, not sweetened. It's not, you are not making whipped cream. You are just whipping the cream, because there is plenty of sugar in the 14 ounces of sweetened condensed milk. And then vanilla as much as you like, and always add a pinch of salt when I do things that are sweet. The way I do it is I put all my flavorings in the sweetened condensed milk and mix them together really well. And then, because you don't want to lose the volume of the whipping of the whipped cream. So then I at the last step is to add the whipped cream and fold it in.
Fold it in, David.
What does folding mean? Fold it in, David. So anyway, it's really easy, and that's it. What I have also given
Elizabeth, that was a Schitt's Creek reference. That was a reference to Schitt's Creek, Elizabeth.
Best okay, Schitt's Creek, spelled not like it sounds. What I've also done is given you the Amazon containers that I like to use. They're just paper containers with a lid. So there's that.
That's nice.
Then you can go crazy with the flavoring. So I have done peach. So this version I did was just peach. I've done buttermilk peach, which I have added to there as well, which is delicious. It's a little bit more tart with all the peach. I name everything. So I did Southern Comfort, which is a bourbon vanilla ice cream, which is delicious on pecan pie. Delicious on pecan pie, I'm telling you. So that's good. I've done Drunken Irishman, which is a little bit of coffee and a little bit of Bailey's, and it's delicious as well. There's a butter pecan version, coffee version. And then one of my favorites is goat cheese and fig. So the Upshaws, which is where I used to live in Macon in Shirley Hills, shout out to Heather, who's a listener and a former neighbor. They have a fig tree. And so I would get the figs and I would roast them and add them to this ice cream base with some goat cheese and then a little bit of balsamic glaze or honey, either one. It is so different and so good and so yummy. So that's kind of one of those out there kind of versions of ice cream. But those are my favorites. So I thought I would share that with y'all if you didn't want to go to the trouble of separating eggs.
I like it. And that's a good trick that, like I said last week, you can't fit a piece of paper in my freezer right now. So this would be a good option because I can't freeze my ice cream maker anyway.
Correct. Yeah.
Because I got 2 giant things of pork chops from Walmart that I did not order.
There we go.
And a gigantic thing of tortillas that I did not order.
Yep. And I really do like those white pint frozen dessert cartons. I mean, you could use them for all kinds of stuff, but those are really, really good. So I have a sleeve of those that I keep here. The other thing that I did actually make this week, because it's a sentimental favorite, is an old recipe that was, I think, my great-grandmother's that we've been eating my whole life. It's called Peaches and Cream. And it's basically like a sponge cake. And then you put peaches, and then the topping, you kind of dial up basically a cream cheese frosting in this dessert and you bake it. And it's really easy. The recipe is there. The peaches, though, I will make a comment about the peaches. So I used fresh peaches because I had a box of fresh peaches. Yeah. And so I cut them up. But what I did was made sure I reserved the juice because you want to put that in the topping and the cream cheese topping. And really, when I put the peach slices in, I put some in the sponge cake as well. So that's when you see it on here, Mom always used the canned peaches because it had the juice reserved. But these peaches are so juicy right now that if you cut them over a bowl, you'll end up with plenty of juice. And I also would take the middle and squeeze it and get all the juice out from around the pit. So that's just my little tip. But there's the recipe for that. It is delicious. I have had it served hot and cold. I prefer it warm, but it's just good. It's good cold as well. So
is it like a cake consistency? Or
it's more like a sponge cake. So I was trying to, when I was eating it last night, I was trying to think about how I was going to describe it. It's not like a pound cake consistency, and it's not a layer cake consistency. It's very much like a sponge. And it's real easy to make. I mean, y'all know I am scared to death of yeast and things like that, like baking things sometimes, but this is super easy. And
good. It's delicious.
It's really, really good. So highly recommend that as well. So those are my two peach recipes. I mean, they're clearly, there's peach bread out there. You know, there's all kinds of things you can do with all these great peaches that Birch is selling down in St. Simons with her crew. But yeah, so do the peach thing. So those are my two favorite things to do with it. So I have made my HMFPSC and I have made my peaches and cream.
Well, that's delightful.
Yeah. So Mandy, you've got favorites this week.
I do. And some of these are going to be sort of follow-ups on things that have been favorites before, but I feel like we need reminding because they're currently doing some fun things. The first is the Bitter Southerner, which I didn't look, but I feel sure I have mentioned as a favorite before.
Yes, but more about the newsletter. So
it's a great, they have a magazine that they published. They have also published a couple of books. We may or may not know somebody who may or may not be working on a book for them right now. But they also they have a general store
okay. in which
they sell really great shirts.
They and do. So
they just dropped their latest magazine has Kacey Musgraves on the cover, and it's an all women's edition of the magazine.
Yes.
And so in support of their all women magazine, they did an all women's merch drop in what they call their minute market. And so it dropped last week. So when y'all listen to this, you might better hustle over there and
hustle.
Look. Because I think they only keep it up for like 10 days. But they had some great shirts, two of which I ordered immediately.
And one of which I ordered immediately.
One says Tawanda.
Which is, I may go back and get that one.
Tawanda is what I have discovered, it is the t-shirt equivalent the Indigo Girls for women our age.
I love that. Well, you know, a friend of mine was in that movie. She was. We all went together to the theater and when she ran it, she was just in it for like 3.2 seconds.
Yeah.
And when she ran across the screen, we all screamed. We were like, oh my God.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, just the whole Tawanda sentiment at this point.
Love like, it. Amen.
During the quarantine, I got so tickled when the Indigo Girls were doing online concerts.
Yeah.
And if you're on Facebook, it scrolls through and it'll tell you like which of your friends have joined. And like every single girl my age, every single girl I went to college with was watching the Indigo Girls concert. That Tawanda t-shirt had the same effect on my Instagram account. Everybody was like, oh my God.
I must have it. I may go back and get it.
I got the Tawanda one, and then I also got the Let's Go Girls.
I love that. Shania. I ended up getting one that is very dual meaning for me. I got the GLORIA because Gogi is really Gloria. So I'm very excited to get my Gloria t-shirt. And I know when I sit here wearing it, because I don't go anywhere. So I'll just be sitting here and her little portrait is going to be like, Katie, what have you done? Why are you wearing my name?
Because. It's great. And everybody that passes you will start singing.
I know, right? So yeah, so I
singing.
Really may go back and get that other one though. But there's some great ones. There's some really good ones.
Yeah, there, and they, I had to stop myself.
It I just know, felt, right?
I really want some more. So
I haven't looked. Oh, it's 3-0 Tennessee.
Nico got a double because the Vandy boy missed the ball in the outfield. Yeah.
E7. That's the other thing I've been doing is I've been texting Mandy like rants with like E2, E3, E7, E-runner.
Mind you, I don't have any idea what she's talking about
because I didn't realize she wasn't watching the game.
Baseball game. But
she didn't have internet.
It makes me feel better. So I just say, okay.
I got so mad at that runner. I was like, oh, that's an error on you.
My second thing is something I know I have mentioned before, which is Thistle Farms, which is a great, I guess they're a company. They started really as a place for women to get back on their feet, and to support that mission, they have become a company. But I was looking at, it's maybe on their Instagram page, they have released some new jewelry, and it's really cute. They've got several things that are really, really cute. So I would just, if you need to update your summer jewels, go take a look at Thistle Farms.
They are cute. Oh, and they're very affordable.
Yes, that have caught my eye, and that goes to support a great mission.
I love that. I think that was in our shop local or shop for a cause Christmas edition. Yeah. So, but I'll link it again because this, y'all.
Cute, right?
These are some, like, I've picked out three just scrolling for 2 seconds. Like, I'm like, oh, I like those. Oh, I like those.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Arms, check them out.
Love it.
The next thing is a new project in Moultrie. It's a friend of mine and then two girls I probably do know, and I don't know that I know them. But one of them is Marie Harrison Brown, who lived across the street from me when we first moved back to Moultrie. And Marie is an interior decorator who just has great taste. But she and two other girls have opened a store in downtown Moultrie, and it's called Proper House. And they've got an Instagram account, Proper House Moultrie. And they've just got the cutest stuff. If you're in South Georgia, there you should go by and check them out. They're on the square. They carry Sugary's cakes. So go pick up a great cake. But then they've just got great houseware. And like I said, I'm sure I know the other two girls. I just don't know. I know them. But Marie has great taste. So everything they have in there looks really fun. So check out their Instagram. And if you're in Moultrie, go check out the store.
Love that. I'm going to, I'm doing, so, you know, everything that Mandy tells me to do, I do. I mean, my wallet sometimes hurts from it, but that's okay. I'm here for it. So I was just doing the next thing you're going to talk about, but now, so they have an Instagram page that already that we want to follow. All right. So I'm going to go do that too while you talk about the next thing.
Well, the next thing is free.
Yes. So, right. I don't know. Now I want to go take a trip though.
It's a podcast. It's an NPR podcast. It's hosted by Roy Wood Jr., whom I love and adore. And Roy grew up in Birmingham. And there is a stadium in Birmingham called Rickwood Stadium. And so the name of the podcast is The Road to Rickwood.
Which I'm really kind of perturbed at myself that I did a lot of things in Birmingham. And I went to Birmingham Barons games, but I never went to Rickwood Stadium, which is tragic.
Well, in fairness, as you listen to the podcast, you will learn, you know, they moved the Barons to Hoover, which is where the SEC tournament is now.
Which is a very nice stadium.
And the part of what happened was when they did that, the whole area around Rickwood just sort of went to hell. And so it wasn't anywhere you would have been checking out as a Sanford student.
Yeah, I would I'm gonna have to look on a map to see where it even is, because I'm not sure. I've never heard of that neighborhood either, but
back in the day, so it was built like 111 years ago.
And for those of you in Macon, yes, that's older than Luther Williams. Sorry about you.
Yep. So it was the podcast tells you all the history of it, but it's just fascinating to hear sort of the history of the stadium, learn some history about Birmingham, mm-hmm. learn some history about the Negro Leagues.
Because originally it was the Black Barons.
Well, no, originally they had two teams. They had the White Barons and the Black Barons.
Oh, okay. See, look, you're teaching me all kinds of new things.
And then once they integrated, old Bull Connor, who ironically was the commentator, he was like the radio guy for the Barons.
Okay.
And then he became Bull Connor, who we've all heard about because he thought it was appropriate to take fire hoses and lock up little children. So he passed an ordinance. This was after Jackie Robinson had joined the MLB.
Right.
Bull Connor passes a local ordinance in Birmingham saying that there was already an ordinance that said you couldn't play, black and white people could not play games together. And it specified, like, such as checkers, stuff like that. He went and amended the ordinance to specifically reference baseball.
Yeah.
Because it had been, up to that point, Rickwood had been sort of like a stopover point for between spring training and then going back up to the north. So like Babe Ruth played at Rickwood and, you know, all that sort of thing.
But
after, you know, old Bull Connor took over, everything sort of went to hell.
Imagine that.
So, but anyway, it was just, it's really fascinating. Now Rickwood, so it was almost torn down like in the 90s, and a group of local Birmingham folks got together and formed a 501c3 called the Friends of Rickwood. And saved it. And the movie about Ty Cobb that Tommy Lee Jones starred in was filmed there. And that's sort of how they got the money to refurbish it, was from the movie. And so they do lots of things at Rickwood.
Sure.
But it was not major league ready. And so several years ago, the MLB decided they wanted to host a game at one of these old, they're not many left, but they wanted to go to one of the Negro League stadiums and host a game. And so tomorrow night, the Giants and the Cardinals will play a major league game at Rickwood Stadium. The other thing you learn in the podcast is that another thing that happened in Birmingham was, that happened in a lot of southern cities, was white flight.
Yep.
And so Birmingham went from being, and we think of Birmingham as being a large city, but that's because we think of Birmingham including Mountain Brook and Hoover and Vestavia Hills. Yep. And, the city itself does not. And so the tax base for the city of Birmingham is not such that it can support having a baseball field at every high school. And so several of the high schools use Rickwood as the stadium, which is great, except that this year, this year they haven't been able to use it because they've been refurbishing it to
the
major league standards. But it'll be great once this is over and done. That now they'll have a great field. But part of the reason they chose the Giants was because Jackie Robinson played for the Giants. He grew up in Birmingham.
Yep.
He made his debut as a professional baseball player at Rickwood. He was in high school. He had to get his mama to sign a waiver for him to go play baseball after school
at Rickwood.
And so the fact that, and he had already said he wasn't going to be able to actually come to the game because his health wasn't up for it. And then lo and behold, if he didn't pass away last night,
were
actually playing a minor league game.
I saw that
last night. And so like they're announcing died in that stadium, you know, with, and they had like four or five of the Negro League players that were there.
Yeah.
You know, I can imagine that happened. But he, yeah, because he grew up like right there. Anyway,
right
it just,
there.
The whole thing was just really beautiful. And I would encourage you all to give it a listen.
Yeah.
And
so I can't wait.
Yeah. So by the time this airs, the game will have already happened, but hopefully y'all watched it.
Yeah.
And hopefully I can figure out how to watch the celebrity softball game tonight.
Well, it reminds me of when, look, I was a weepy mess. I'll admit it. Y'all know I love baseball. I can keep a book. I do give out airs like candy, but I do love baseball very much. And so when they played the major league game at the Field of Dreams, I was a, like, when Kevin Costner walked out of that corn, like, I lost it.
Yeah.
Lost it.
I was listening to a podcast this week, and somebody was talking about, yeah, that was neat, and that was great and all. That was based on a movie.
Yeah. So this.
This is
I'm
real.
gonna be a puddle on the ground.
And a couple of things that MLB has done this year, they can't figure out how to let people watch anything, but kudos to them for doing this.
Yeah.
They went back, and anybody
Yes.
who played in the Negro Leagues
Yes.
who would qualify for a pension under the, you know, if they met the same requirements as
Yep.
somebody who played in MLB, they have now started giving a pension to all those men
Amazing.
who did not previously qualify because they were only in the Negro Leagues. And then they
Lovely.
also have, they spent many, many, many years dutifully researching
Yep.
the records from the Negro Leagues, and they have now merged
Yes.
those with MLB's own records.
I
And so
love
things
that.
like Ty Cobb is no longer holds the record for most hits. It's Josh Gibson. So
I was
just,
going
you
to say, there's one guy that I think took a whole bunch of records.
I think it's probably Josh Gibson. So
I think that was the name. I can see his picture, this little black and white picture from back in the day. But thank you for his name. It deserves to be spoken. But it's just a beautiful thing. I'm so excited to see such good things happening. So baseball, like you said, gets a lot of things wrong. But this was a pretty good win. So I was excited.
One of the guys I interviewed in the podcast grew up in Macon.
Oh.
Yep. So that was
I
fun.
can't wait to see who that is. I can't wait to listen.
There was a guy that played in the Negro Leagues and then played for the A's, whose name was, I think, Blue Vida. I think he died like last year or the year before.
Okay.
And I want to say this guy was like Blue Bell or
Okay.
something. Like, it was something I had never heard of him.
Yeah, I
But
was about to say, I don't know that name. I know out of Macon, some of the most famous, there's some infamous, but famous athletes are actually the Malone brothers, Carl Malone, the mailman, but that was basketball. But I don't know that name. So I'm really excited to, I hope there's something in the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame for that human. So I can't wait to listen.
Yeah, it's really, and it really was, you know, part of why we love sports so much are the stories, and
Yes.
how just this really does a great job of sort of synthesizing
I love that.
sports and society, and it really, you know, kind of shows how it has a larger effect on everything.
Yeah.
So it was just really, and I mean, I really, really love Roy Wood. I was telling
I
Birch,
love Roy Wood.
he did a podcast back before he was Roy Wood.
Right.
Listened to probably, it came out in 21, about the Cubs run to the World Series, because he
Oh,
grew
yeah.
up in Birmingham, but he was a Cubs
He's a
fan.
Cubs fan.
Because he watched him on WGN every afternoon
Yeah.
when he got to school. And so that was before he had just started working for the Daily Show when they won. And this was recorded several years later, but I didn't, like, he wasn't Roy Wood like he is now.
Right, right, right.
So that was sort of my introduction to him. I was like, who is this guy from Birmingham? And why don't I know who he is?
Yeah.
But he just does a good job with all, you know, with storytelling.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it.
So, and being from Birmingham, it was great. So,
So I think we should definitely add that to our list of things we want to do in this world. If you happen to be in Birmingham doing any of these things, I think I've said it on here before. I cannot recommend enough. I would love to go back to the Birmingham Civil Rights Museum. It is one of the most powerful places I have ever been. I really want to do the one in Montgomery as well, but that is right across the street from the church that was bombed that killed those children. And it is I just cannot recommend it enough. It's one of my favorite places I went as a college student in Birmingham. So if you're going to the game, it's not far. I just looked it up on where it is. It's right there all together. Or if you're over there for a concert or whatever you're over there for, take the time to get to the Birmingham Civil Rights Museum. It is fantastic. Have you ever done that one, Mandy? We should do that, but we should definitely put that on our list. It's a great, great place. So, awesome. Well, I cannot wait to listen to Roy Wood Jr. He's so funny, and I know he'll do a good job telling the story. So, and you know, we love the stories. That's why we do this, so we can tell about HMFPSC and all the other weird things that we do.
Well, what have you got going on this week?
So I think I'm actually going to go for the rest of this week up to a friend's lake house and get some vitamin D in my pores. So I may be burnt. I'm going to remember to use sunscreen. I'm going to take my hats. I'm going to do the whole thing. But I'm going to sit in the water, which is my favorite thing to do. In fact, my sermon this week is about, it's the verses where Jesus is asleep in the front of the boat on a cushion, where all the world is on fire around them. And so I am, I'm preaching about being on the water as a child and all the things that I learned about a storm. So, it'll be a theme for the rest of the week.
Well, good.
Yeah. Enjoy. So how about you? Are you still in your, I'm not leaving the house, I'm in my world of no?
I am. I may, I'm still trying to decide. There's a fundraiser in Birmingham. There's a fundraiser Saturday night for the Wine Rescue.
Okay.
And it's the last one they're going to have of this particular flavor. And Betsy's like, come on, it's going to be the last one. So I thought about doing that. And then Monday and Tuesday, I will be going to Camp War Eagle. So, yeah.
Okay. Missed opportunity. My bad. I should have taught you all the cheers. Don't be shocked. I know the motions.
Okay. I do. Listen, I know the fight song. We were at a swim meet in Tuscaloosa when I was, you know, 8. And my dad was trying to keep me entertained. And he taught me the Alabama fight song and the Auburn fight
Love
song.
Love it.
I remember Auburn. I don't remember Alabama at all.
Love it. Well, that's the only important one. So, I mean, track them, Tigers, just like Beagles. Give them hell, you war damn Eagles.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll teach them all. I can't wait.
So I may go up. I don't know. I haven't decided. I'm either going to go to Auburn on Sunday, or I may go ahead and go up
to Birmingham.
Birmingham. I don't know. Anyway,
it's an easy drive on 280. Just saying, I made it 100 times. If you do that, again, go up maybe, and I don't know when it's open, but that Civil Rights Museum, it's not going to take you too long to go through it, so yeah. It's a good museum to do, but if you've got time.
I don't think that'll be this trip, but it's not like I don't drive through Birmingham 1,400 times a year.
Look, there we go.
So anyway, I can't wait
to hear how Camp War Eagle is. I'm so jealous. I mean, I will teach you all the motions. I'll do it. I think Will should be a male cheerleader. All right. That's my next goal in life, is to convince him to do that. So exciting.
Have fun.
He has no idea what a pest I can be.
Mm-hmm.
Like every kid. So there's a kid whose grandparents are members of my church. And he's a really good baseball player. So every time I see him, I'm like, you know, Auburn could really use some good players. And he's like, yes, ma'am, I know you've said that. And Auburn, We'll give you a good scholarship, I promise. I'll call. Not that I have any pull at all, but like, come on. Yeah.
If you have scholarship pull at Auburn, could you work on that for Will?
Okay.
That's the only place he didn't get any money from.
I know. Well, cheerleaders get scholarships. Look, problem solved. And he gets to throw girls all over the place. So look at that.
No, that's going to appeal to him. But okay. All right. Well, I hope you have a great weekend.
I will. I will. And I will upload pictures of all my HMFPSC and all the things. So y'all can see my cartons of fresh peach ice cream.
Because I know y'all are waiting with bated
dying.
Breath.
Dying
of Katie's gardens of peach ice cream. We will have y'all covered.
I haven't been sleeping all that great, so Katie's a little punchy today, if you can't tell. Perimenopause sucks. Just say that out loud.
Yeah. All right, y'all.
All right, y'all.
Talk to y'all later.
Keep it between the ditches.